Let's personalize that. God's prayer for you. What does God want for you? What does God want for us? And for those who are new with us, I'm going to ask you to engage your mind. Church is a place to use your mind. We don't check our minds outside there. We engage our minds. God wants to speak to you through your mind and will speak to you through your heart. So I often say this, you can disagree with me. That's fine, but I want you to have reasons for doing so. I just want to reason with you. God's prayer for us. Now, for those who are new, anytime the scripture's up there, I just want you to read it out loud with me together, okay? So we're going to begin. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. You might be able to glimpse in here the four prayers that God, the four desires that God has for us, if you're really thinking and engaged. Let's look at it. Let's read together. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Let's read it one more time. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So God's prayer for each one of us, what God wants. Let's just begin. Number one, it's God's desire and intent. It's his heartbeat. It's his prayer to establish us, to establish you. Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Well, what in the world does that mean, establish? It means to strengthen, and it means to confirm. By the way, I just got to just put a pause on it right now because I see Jim, Brother Jim Harold, in our service. He just turned, he's a World War II vet among us, just turned 96 years old. And would you stand, just let us honor you. We're just probably the oldest in our congregation right here. Drove the boats onto the beaches there and still with us. And his lovely wife, Amy. God bless you. God bless you. After the service, run and talk to Brother Jim. I'm sure he's got a joke or two he can tell you. He always has a good joke to share. God's desire and his intent is to establish us. What does that mean? God's prayer, his heartbeat, he so wants to move us from a position of weakness and fragility. He wants to move us from a place of uncertainty and doubt and inexperience and immaturity, and he wants to move us to see us grow into a position of strength. He wants to establish us. Now, any teacher in the world would know that this is their goal for their students. They want to see them move from a position of I don't know to, you know what? I do know. Just makes sense. Same way with God. God wants to see you and me move from a place where I don't know how this works. I don't know how to talk to God. I don't know about life, to a place where I do know. Wants to see us move from a place where I can't do this to a place where I can say with confidence, not arrogance, but with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's look at a passage of Scripture. Now, in your notes, we might just stop and just say, well, what is the church all about? Why in the world are we here right now? And the simple answer in your notes is that because God wants to strengthen you. That's why we're here. That's what the church is all about. He wants to establish you and to confirm you, to make you firm in our lives. Let's look at a passage of Scripture, Ephesians 4, that talks about this. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. says Christ himself gave the, look here, Christ himself gave some gifts. Literally, the word in the Greek, he gave gifts to people. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, what's their job? Now, Christ gave them to do something. Look, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ, that's the name of the church, so that the church or the body of Christ may be what? Maybe weak and pathetic and not able to do very much in a community, kind of one of those places that you pass by and you never notice. No, that's not God's desire. God's desire is for his body to be built up. Well, how is his body built up? It takes some people inside that church to be equipped, to be established, to move from a position of living life in weakness to I'm living my life from a position of strength. So the body of Christ may be built up. Let's keep going. Verse 13, until we all become what? So just think about that. I mean, you as parents want your children to eventually what? To what? Some of you are just praying, grow up. I mean, grow up and mature. Look at verse 14. Then we will no longer be what? Infants. You know, God doesn't desire for any of us to continue to it's okay to be an infant for a while. But he wants us to grow. He wants us to become strong. He wants us to have a maturation process where we move from where we are to where we need to be. No longer infants. Now look how he describes a spiritual infant. No longer infants tossed what? Back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every what? Wind of teaching. Just every little thing, they're just here and then they're blown there and they're just, but Christ has a remedy for that. He says, I'm going to give you pastors and I'm going to give you teachers, and their main job is to equip and to, listen, to call out maturity in each one of us. Now, I was just saying before, none of us as parents want to see their kids just remain babies, just maybe on their backs and going coo coo coo, and then eventually they get on their knees and they're just going around and they're just so happy that they're on their knees. Look at him, he's crawling, he's on his knees, but eventually you want them to begin to stand up. Why? We want to see them growing and begin to stand up, and then we're in trouble because they're into everything and grabbing things and going around the house. But I'm looking at my kids. Now I have a son who's gone through all those phases, and praise God, I came home the other day and he cut the grass and weeded it himself. And the lawn, amen. Some dads out there are going, yes, it's coming for you too. I'm just prophesying for you. But he's growing and growing and growing, and now he's a place, he starts the lawnmower himself and goes and cuts it, and the lines are straight, and he turns the weeder aside and makes sure all the lines, and what's happening there? Growing and maturing. He's in the process of being established. He's in the process of setting himself up for success. God's prayer for you is that you succeed. And for you to succeed, you need to be established and strengthened and confirmed in our faith. Now, this begs a question. How does this happen? How does God establish us and confirm us and strengthen us and move us from a position of weakness to living our lives from a position of strength? How does that happen? Well, let's consider this passage of Scripture. Colossians 2 and 6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, look at the words carefully, rooted and what? And built up in him. Here's this word, what? Established in the faith as you have been what? as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Keep that verse up there. I want you to look at it. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted. Put down some roots. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. Listen, God's design and prayer for us isn't simply just that you get saved. It's not simply that you just say a prayer. I was in church one time, and the pastor said, bow your heads, and if you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, raise your hand. And I raised my hand, and I repeated some words, and then I walked out the door, but I'm still living my life up and down and from a position of weakness. That's not God's prayer for you. God's prayer for you isn't simply that you just get saved. It's more than just get saved. God wants to strengthen you. He wants to establish you. He wants you to live your life from a position of strength in him, for us to be strong. Now, how does that happen? As you have been, there's a phrase in that verse, established in the faith as you have been taught. Taught. It takes, how does God establish this? It takes teaching. Someone has to teach us. Now, among all the things that Pastor Charlie does, and this, that, from chancellor of a school to running a church to all the stuff, the main job on top of all of that is to teach. And to see the people who are under me, the flock who are under me, to see that they are what? Equipped, to see that they are established, to see that they are strengthened in our lives. So how does that happen? I want to ask you a question. Are we allowing God to establish us? Now, this is God's prayer. It's his intent for you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to. Are we cooperating with that? By the way, congratulations for being here on Sunday morning. I put some ideas in here. How does this happen here at the church? The very first one, and this is just the basic, this is the first step, is just weekly coming to God's house. Taking out my note sheet. Got my pen. I see so many of you are so encouraging. I got my note sheet here. I got my pen, I've got my fill in the blanks, or I got my app, and I'm doing it, what am I doing? I'm cooperating with what God wants to do. He wants to strengthen me. He wants to establish me. He wants to teach me some things, and so I'm learning. I'm taking the teaching seriously. I'm wanting to cooperate with what God wants to do in my life. You see there, different ways, weekly, being under the teaching, taking seriously the teaching of God's word. How about next steps in joining a serve team? Number three, we just saw a whole group, over 50 people, completing foundations class, giving themselves to teaching. How about further study opportunities in Community U? That's Community University. Jason, you were telling me we just had a whole group go through Financial Peace University. Financial Peace, FPU. How many went through that, 15 or so?
We had about 9 families.
9 families finished, and you were saying that over that course, how much debt was retired? Do you remember? I'm just putting you on the spot. So listen to this. In this class, in just the 10 weeks of it, the 9 families that were participating in it, they retired $181,000 of debt. Are you guys alive? Like some of you, I want to show what some of your faces look like. It's okay to smile. Just relax. Look, we're just talking. I'm just reasoning with you. Now listen. Let's bring this out of just like imaginary world. When I say God wants to strengthen you, that's what it means. in every way. I'm not just talking about spiritual strength, even though some of us need that, emotional strength, mental strength, mental clarity in our lives. But what about financial strength? Some of us have been living from a position of financial weakness long enough. So how can we move from a position to strength in that area? Well, teaching. It's God's heartbeat that you succeed. And so we are we going to cooperate with that? I mean, it's one thing for God to say, okay, this is what I want for you, but then we have a part to play, and that part might be, you know what? I want to sign up for foundations class. I don't want to have shaky foundations. I don't want to be strong in my faith or whatever that is. You know, further study those opportunities. Now, this isn't in your notes, but I just want you to consider, basic is just teaching. Taking it seriously. Lord, I'm going to be coming to your house and learning and having your words just wash over my mind and into my spirit and my heart. But there's another important part of that that puts us in a position of strength is not only listening to the teaching, but actually what? Come on, we know this. It's doing it. I'm thinking of like little Jude. I mean, we're not a lacrosse family. We do football. That's basically it. But somehow we got introduced to lacrosse, and I don't know what to tell Jude, but I just took him to practice, and I got coaches there. Thank God the dads that know what they're doing, and they got the sticks. First of all, you put sticks in six-year-old hands. It's just hilarious, just, you know. But anyways, he's 8, 9. He's maturing in it and learning how to do that. But Jude hates going to practice, but he loves going to the game. And back we had to drag him to practice. Don't want to go to practice, but loves the game. And I just, you know, that's one thing for an eight-year-old lacrosse. But some of us, that's our Christian experiences. We love the Sunday morning, and we love it. Got the goosebumps. Got all, you know, all the stuff. Got the feel goods. You know, man, that's just feeling good. But right when we walk out of there, get in our cars and pull out onto 7, and Monday morning comes, and practice. Tuesday's practice. Come on, you hear? Wednesday's practice. It's the things I'm learning. Now, Lord, help me to live it. And when I fumble and I fall down, Lord, help me to get back up and keep practicing. And I'm going to come back to the game. I got to come back. I got to hear some more stuff. Learn it, okay? I'm going to go practice it. Jesus said it like this, you know, in Matthew 7. He said, everyone who hears my teachings and does them is like a wise man. He built his house, his home, his life upon a rock. And when the winds came down, the flood beat against that house, it stood firm. But everyone who hears these teachings of mine and does not do them, come on, you know it. We know the story well. Is like a foolish man. As if just hearing is what strengthened my life. Is as if just hearing is what establishes me. Come on. It's not just hearing that established me. It's hearing and then, okay, Lord, Monday morning at work or two, I'm going to begin to put this into practice in my life. So Jesus said there was another man who heard my teachings, didn't do them. It's like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rains came, the floods beat against that home, and great was its collapse. Exact same lives. In the story, the exact same life, same wind, same rain, same house built. The difference was actually, I mean, think about this, how just dumb this is right here. You pass out note sheets, isn't that? Why would we do that? Maybe, maybe someone here will write down something that God whispers and speaks into them a next step and will actually carry it through. And it's the actual carrying it through that begins to move you from a position of immaturity to maturity. A position of from a position of weakness to God begins to, you begin to cooperate with God and His intent to cause you to be established and to cause us to succeed in our lives. So, establish us, that second word. What's God's desire and intent for us? God's design and intent for us is to anoint us. So first, establish. What that word means, strengthen, to confirm us. But it's also prayer for us and desire for us is to anoint us. Now, what in the world does that mean? Here's what I want to ask you. What in the world comes to your mind when I say God wants to anoint you? Seriously? You're talking about taking some like oil and pouring it on my head or some spiritual thing or what comes to your mind when I say anoint? Do you think like goosebumps and spiritual ecstasy and this wonderful like anointing, like this special spiritual power and favor over someone? I got to tell you how I was raised. When I heard the word anointing, what that meant was somebody was specially favored by God. They were anointed. In other words, in church, like if they did something and it was like super powerful and you felt like goosebumps and they did it, you would say, man, he or she was anointed. Or you ever heard somebody sing, and they sing, and you kind of feel these, like, your hairs kind of stand up on the inner hand, and you're like, man, she's anointed. Ooh, they have this special favor and presence of God on their lives. Now, that's fine, but I want to give you another perspective of that. I want to challenge that a little bit. I want to suggest something to you, that spiritual favor and strength and the grace of God has nothing to do with the person. They're special. They have a special presence and favor of God on their lives. No. I'm going to suggest something to you. Just reason with me. The special favor and help of God is offered to anyone. No, some of you still... It's going to take a long time for this truth to sink in. So when I say long time, you can't just give me one Sunday. It's going to be years probably before it starts to settle in to our minds. Pastor, that's for you. You're anointed. No. The special favor and help and strength and presence of God is available to anyone. Anyone. Who, here's the catch, who will humble themselves and step into what God has called them to do. So, we're getting close to what anointing means. So, Moses, we know from his biography here in the notes, was not a good talker. In fact, he had anxiety. If he had to get up in front of important people and talk, public speaking scared him to death. God, you've got to send Aaron, my brother. I'll stand behind Aaron. Aaron's a good speaker. And God, you remember God's response, no, I've called you. And so as Moses accepted his assignment, the presence and favor and help of God followed him. You know Paul. Paul said, I came to you and I stuttered. I didn't have very good speech, but he was doing his assignment, what God called him to do, and the presence and the help and the favor of God followed him, being obedient to what God had called him to do. Now we're getting close. To anoint simply means to appoint or to give a specific assignment or task. Let's look at Jesus just quickly. This is what Jesus said. This is Luke 4:18. This is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Read with me if you would. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Okay, right there. The Spirit or the help, the strength, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Why? Because he has what? He has anointed me to do something. There it is. The Spirit of God is upon me. Why? Because God has given me a task to do. The word anoint, the Lord has anointed me, is the same as the Lord has appointed me. God's Spirit is resting upon me because God has given me a task to do. Now, what every one of us need to hear is God has given you an assignment to do. And when you humble yourself and embrace and pursue that assignment, His presence and His favor and His help comes upon you as well. It's for anyone. The anointing of God. God wants to anoint you. Now, I hope we're getting close to understanding what that means. Here's the insight in your notes. The Spirit of God covers, empowers, strengthens the person who what? Embraces and pursues their divine assignment. I want to ask you a question. Are you serving the Lord? Didn't ask you if you know Him. Didn't ask you if you're a Christian. Do you have an assignment from God that you're embracing and pursuing? What's another way of asking that? Have you received the anointing of God? God wants you to be anointed, not just established. He wants you to be anointed. So, Pastor Charlie, that word still doesn't make sense. When we think of anointment, I want you to think of work, task, grit, sweat, sacrifice, just down-to-earth stuff. I still don't get it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about like, are you anointed? Are you embracing your task? I'm talking about like changing your schedule. Like real stuff. Sending out emails. You've been given an assignment to do. Maybe you're in charge of a team. And so, Lord, I'm taking that team and I'm scheduling, but you gave, that team is 6, but I'm going to turn it into 12. Why? Because I have an anointing. What's that mean? I've been appointed to do something. And when I step into that appointment, God's favor and His help begins to flow in my direction. Growing a ministry, parking cars in the rain. When you think of anointing, do you think of going to the arts and crafts store, you know, and buying popsicle sticks and glue and little fuzzy things, and then coming to church on Sunday morning with your arts and crafts bag and sitting it down for the third and fourth graders and saying, okay, get out the popsicle sticks and putting glue on it and putting the fuzzies on it and all that stuff? No, many times we don't think that because we're thinking some spiritual thing. But what is happening there? Is that children's worker is embracing the anointing of God. I'm doing the task, the assignment that God has called me to do. I was telling the first service last week, I was kind of joking, but Jill ended the service on time, and the children's department wasn't used to that. They thought they still had 15 minutes. And all the parents showed up downstairs on time. And so we were laughing with some of the workers, children's workers. They said we were in the middle of our arts and crafts when all the parents showed up. So we were hurrying up, putting all the stuff down, and we were sharing. And I was so proud of them because whether they know it or not, they are embracing the anointing of God. The anointing. They are anointed. Why? Because they're serving the Lord. They have been given a task to do, and as they embrace that task, the special favor and help and grace of God rest upon them. So we've come all this way to say, what in the world does it mean when God says He wants to anoint us? There in your notes, the answer, A, is God wants to give us a job, an assignment where we are serving Him. You know, just pause right here. Some of us in here, God wants to establish you, not just establish you, but God wants to give us an anointing. He wants to anoint you. He wants to give you a task, an assignment, a place to serve Him. Some of us in here with that thought have walked away from your anointing. You used to serve, you used to have a place, you used to give yourself to it, But you walked away that. Some of us in here, you've never embraced the anointing of God. What are you talking about? An assignment and a task from Him that He's called us to do. And I want us to consider that and think about that. No matter how high we go in this world, no matter how promoted we get in our job, no matter how busy life gets, let me encourage us to never allow anything to overcrowd, overshadow, or to rob us of our appointment, of our anointing from God, that He actually has called me to serve Him. Even if you're the first, you were picked first in the NFL draft, and they call your name and you go up and they give you the jersey and everyone celebrates it, and they should, and you're just so pumped about that, even that doesn't compare to being handpicked by God to be on His team, in His house, wearing one of His jerseys and saying, look, I don't care how famous, how whatever that is, you are anointed, you are appointed to serve me in a particular task. Now, son, embrace it and never move away from it. I remember reading, I'm in the middle of reading the biography of John D. Rockefeller. Fascinated as he builds Standard Oil Company. And it was an amazing time in the history of our nation. And massive wealth, one of the wealthiest men America's produced at that time. The decisions that Mr. Rockefeller would make in his office would literally shake the world economy. That much power. I was fascinated, even as high as he started off as a young man and just built this company. Right up until the very end of his life, every single Sunday, you know where you found him? In the little church, little Baptist church, he would be there sitting with his family and kids when he was small and had nothing. And then when he had everything in the world, he was there. And I was reading, here he is, multi-wealthy. He's coming to church, praying, singing, hearing the teaching of God's word, and then leading the Sunday school. So that would be like today. Imagine today. Someone still coming, humble, never promoted beyond my anointing, my appointment, Lord, that I'm called to serve you. It'd be like him coming in today and just sitting in, praying, singing, second service going down, getting out the popsicle sticks. Hey guys, I want to talk to you about what God means and teaching kids about. Well, let's turn our phones off, close your Bibles. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. I just pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, I know you're speaking to many of us, touching our hearts. Lord, I pray that not one of us would ever get too big. That we would move away from our assignment, Lord, our anointing. Lord, because it's in that assignment, it's in that just the nitty-gritty of just life, just serving, Lord. Lord, that you send your special favor and your help and your grace. grace, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your intent and desire, Lord, to establish us, to establish you, to cause you to be strong. And then the Lord, to, on top of that, Lord, to give us a place in your house, Lord, to serve you. And Lord, I pray, God, that as many of us respond today, we're not just hearing, but as we respond, Lord, that you're also going to respond and draw close to us. Lord, I thank you that our best is yet to come. It's in Jesus' good name we pray. All of us said, come on, all of us said, amen.